Top of Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, and we're studying the sugya of Isi ben Yehuda. The Mishnah lists a number of lavim which are inapplicable to Nashim for various reasons. Each one has their own drasha, and Isi ben Yehuda adds to the list the Iso Lav of Karcha. And the question is, how does he know that women are not included in the Lav of Karcha? After all, women are included in all Lavim Shabbat Torah. What's the miut? Abai Omar Hainu Taima De Isi De Gomar Karcha Karcha Mi Bnei Aaron. There are two parshiyos of Karcha. One is in Emor, in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, and that one opens up with the words Bnei Aaron. And there's another parsha of Karcha in Parashas Re'eh, in Dvarim Yudal, there it says, Lo sasimu karcha b'nei nechem. Mala halon. If we have the word karcha in both cases, we make gzer shava. And just like in the case of Kohanim, which is in Parashas Emor, the Torah says, b'nei Aaron, to exclude women. Nashim pturos. It means that women are not included in those lavim that are formulated by the Torah at the beginning of Parshas Emor, including the Iser of Karcha lo yikruchu Karcha Barosham. And those lavim, including Karcha, are addressed to Zichrei Kuhuna. Is Afkan, by virtue of this Gzeres Shava, we apply the same yardstick and the same halacha to Karcha for Yisrael, which is in Parshas Re'eh, Nashim Pturos. The Gemara is not happy with Abaye V'is Viralon if, in fact, we maintain Dechik Siv Kra. Then when the Torah says B'nei Aaron, it excludes B'nos Aaron, B'chulin Yonahu Dechsiv. And when the Torah opens up in Parshas Emma with the words B'nei Aaron, that exclusion of Benos Aaron applies straight throughout in all the Lavim. Is Bechulei and Yonahu Dechsiva, including, of course, not just the laws of Tumas Mes, where the Kohen is enjoined from going into a cemetery, etc. And that only applies to Zichrei Kuna, but not to Benos Aaron. Is if that be the case, we can go beyond Tumas Mes and extend that pasuk, that exclusion of Nashim of Benos Aaron, all the way to Karcha. If that's the logic of Isi Ben Yud, is Nishtok Kra Minei, why do I need the Gzer Shava of Karcha Karcha? Drop the Gzer Shava. V'teisei b'kalva chomer, if women are exempt from the Lav of Karcha, which is an Iser Miyucha L'Kohanim, then with given that Kula, with regard to Benos Aaron, is Anoa Mina, how much more so in the case of Yisrael? Uma Kohanim Sheribo Behem HaKosuv Mitzvos Yiseris, which means that Kohanim are endowed with a higher level of Kedusha. The Kedusha's Kuhuna exceeds beyond that of a Kedusha's Yisrael. Is nevertheless, the Torah says, B'nei Aaron, V'lo B'nos Aaron, in the case of Karcha. The Torah is excluding B'nos Aaron in the separate Lav of Karcha as it's addressed to Kohanim. Is Yisrael, where the Torah doesn't have this Ribui Mitzvos, and there's no special Kedusha, Lo Kolshken, which more so, with regard to the Iser Karcha Lo Yisrael, we can be Mekil, and exclude Banos. So why do I need the Gzeres Shava? So Gemara answers, Ilav Gzeres Shava, without Karcha Karcha, to equate the Azhara to Yisraelim, and the Azhara to Kohanim, is half. I mean, I would have thought that when the Torah says, B'nei Aaron v'lo B'nos Aaron, is Hifsik HaInyan. We find that between the introduction at the beginning of Parshas Emor, where the Torah addresses itself to Bnei Aaron, and the Pasuk Yiso Lav of Karcha, in the middle is wedged the Pasuk La Yitama, which means the mitzvah of Tuma and Avelus, for one of the Zion Krovin. And that mitzvah applies not only to men, but also to women. We discuss this in the last Shia, that women are included no less than men in the mitzvah of Avelus, and that's Lo Yitama. So therefore, what we need is this Gzeres Shava. Because if not for the Gzeres Shavah, we're just relying on the words Bnei Aaron at the beginning of the parasha, we know that at some point the Bnei Aaron, it terminates, so to speak. You know, if you throw a ball against the wall becomes a barrier, and the ball can't go over the wall. Here the barrier is Lo Yitoma. We have the pasuk of Bnei Aaron, Velo Bnos Aaron, that applies as far as the Isur Tumah is concerned, the Lav of Tumah, which enjoins a Kohen for going into a cemetery. That's early in the pasuk, in the parasha. And then we have Hifsik HaInyan, we have the mitzvah of Lo Yitoma, and that applies to women as well. So we have no way of jumping over the barrier and extending the p'tur of Nashim from Bnei Aaron, Velo Bnos Aaron, to include Karcha. Therefore, says Abaye, Isi is going to require this Gzeres Shavah of Karcha in order to be Memait Nashim from the Isur Karcha. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if we have a principle called Hifsik HaInyan, is Hashtanami, even after the Gzeres Shavah, name it, we should apply this principle of Hifsik HaInyan, which means that the exclusion of Benos Aaron from the Azharas Karcha the exclusion of Benos Aaron from the Isur Tumah that's incumbent upon a Kohen to enjoin him from having any contact with the dead, that exclusion of Benos Aaron should not be extended to Karcha because of Hifsik HaInyan. And even if you have the Gzeres Shavah, but once there's this new power or this new halacha of Hifsik HaInyan, then it's not going to tell me, it's not, you cannot overcome or neutralize the Hifsik HaInyan through a Gzeres Shavah. Ah, you'll ask me, so why did the Torah create this Gzeres Shavah? V'imishum Gzeres Shavah is mi boile lechesanya. I can use the Gzeres Shavah for a brisa. Now this brisa is going to establish that the details of the Isur Karcha, in other words, the scope and the application of Isur Karcha, as it's formulated in these two parashios, one in Parshas Emma, which is addressing the Kohanim, and the other in Parshas Re'eh, which is addressing Yisraelim, we have an open pipeline that allows us to go in both directions, equating these two lavim, one lav for Kohanim and one lav for Yisraelim. And that's the potency of this Gzeres Shavah Karcha Karcha. What dinim, what specific details of the lav of Karcha we're going to derive via this Gzeres Shavah? So the Gemara says the following. Number one, when it says in the parash of Kohanim, Lo Yikrichu Karcha Barosham, the word Barosham seems to indicate that the entire head is one entity. And therefore, if a person would make many karchos, he would make many open, bald spots on his head, that would all be collapsible or unified into one lav of verosham. Yochal afilu im karach arba v'chamesh karchos. At one time, he does four or five karchos. Lo yechayev ela achas. The word rosham indicates that all these karchos are united, integrated into one avera. And therefore get one set of malchus of 39. Talmud Lomar, Karcha l'chayev al kol achas v'achas. In the parasha of the lav of Karcha to Yisrael, it says, Lo sasimu Karcha bein einechem. Here the emphasis is not on Rosham, and the emphasis is rather on the heft of the Karcha. Each individual Karcha, therefore, is a lav, a violation unto its own. And if he makes five Karchas, he'll be chayev five sets of malchus, which is like close to 200 malchus. That's a lot to take, to tolerate. And the point is that this Gzeres Shavah is now teaching us something from Yisrael back to Kohanim, namely to generate a chiyuv on each karcha. Now, you might ask, how can you do these five karchos with one moment in Vavasachas? So this, if I remember correctly from the Sugyan Makis, they used to have a certain kind of chemical substance, which I guess you call nair or something, where you dip your fingers into the chemical, and you have five fingers that are dipped in the chemical. Then you put your hand, and you press down on your head, you can make five different bald spots at the same time. Again, all this is all a mess, because that's where the Avodah Zarah used to express their bereavement. Now the Gemara is going to go the opposite direction, and we're going to use the pasuk in Emor to teach us something, shed a light on the lav to Yisraelim in Parshas Re'eh. And this is all by virtue of the Gzeirah Shavah Karcha Karcha. Berosham, here in Parshas Emor, it says Berosham Atalmud Lomar. What is it teaching me? Lefish and Nemar Lotus Godu Lotosimu Karcha Beinei Nechem Lemes Yochal. I might think Lo Yehi Chayev Ella. Al Bein Hainayim, it's only if you make this karcha directly above the point between your eyes. You go all the way to the hairline on top, but it doesn't mean that you'd be chayav for making bald spots on the rest of the head. Minayin l'rabos kol arosh, Talmud Lomar b'rosham, the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh says, in Parshas Emor says b'rosham. And that's coming to teach you anywhere in the head you're chayav for. So again, it's a two-way street, and this Gzeirah Shavah of Karcha Karcha sheds a light in this direction and that direction. From the parsha of Karcha to Yisraelim, we understand that you chayav five times over for each Karcha individually. From the parsha of Kohanim in Emor, we derive the conclusion that you are chayav anywhere on the head, not just Bein Einechem. Then the Gemara continues and says, V'ainli ela kohanim shariba bahen akosiv mitzvos yiseros. You want to derive from the pasuk in Parshas Emor, which drops the Bnei Nechem, and instead substitutes Berosham, that anywhere on the head you're chayv, it doesn't have to be Bnei Nechem. Maybe that's a separate chumrah with regard to Kohanim, because Kohanim have a Chumri Yisera, Mitzvos Rabos, and Kedusha Yisera. How do you know Yisrael? Nemar Kan, here in Parshas Emor, it says Karcha. V'nemar Lahalan in Parshas Re'eh, with regard to Yisraelim, it says Karcha. Both cases, the word Karcha is chosen. Ma Kan, Chayval Kol Karcha, Karcha V'chayval Arosh, Kibbeinai Naim. Af Lahalan, Chayav Al kol karcha v'karcha v'chayv al kol al rosh bein ha'inayim. So it means that we derive, as we said, in both directions, the chumrah that you chayv for each karcha, and the chumrah that you chayv anywhere in the head, and that's the gzeirah shavah of karcha karcha. Umala halan al mes, afkan al mes, in the parsha of Karcha l'Yisraelim, it specifies that it was done al ames, as an expression of bereavement for the death of a relative. And here also in Parshas Kohanim, where it doesn't say mes, the Isser applies when he does this al mes. The Gemara now asks Im Kain, if you're going to say that this Gzeirah Shavah is limited to the scope and the application of this, of these various lavim, the two lavim of Karcha, and therefore we're not going to be able to derive the exemption of Nashim because of what we called Hifsik. What was the language there? Again, let's get the language. Hifsik Ha'inyan, right? Hifsik Ha'inyan is Nichtov Kra, the Torah could have said, and here Abai is going to introduce the extra hey. It could have said Lo Yikruchu Kerach Berosham without the hey at the end. My Karcha. And again, this word Karach, Karcha, is written in both Parshios as an extra word. Lo Tasimu Karach Bein Einechem. Is Shamet Minah Tarte. You can learn two things. Number one, that all the Chiyuvim in terms of the scope of the Isur Karcha be derived one from the other, from Kohanim to Yisraelim and back and forth, which means that the Lav of Karcha applies to each Karcha individually, and it applies on the entire head, and Lav Dafka Bein Hainayim, it applies because he was Korech Alames. All that is number one. And number two, from the extra hay, we're going to derive the exclusion of Nashim of Nekevos, that when it says B'nei Aaron, it's only Zichrei Kuna, and this lav does not apply to B'nos Aaron. Rava Amar any time of the Isi, Rava has a substitute alternative explanation for Isi. The Yoliv, he derives a Gezerah Shava from Tfilin to Karcha. In the Pasha, Karcha, it says, as we saw, Lo Tasimu Karcha Bein Einechem. In Tfilin, it says, this is in Dvarim Yud Aleph Ayu Tatfos Bein Einechem, again Bein Einechem, Mala Halanoshim Pturos. If you recall, we derive from the Hekesh between Tfilin and Talmud Torah, that just like in Talmud Torah it says Vishinantum Levanecha Velo Libnosecha, meaning that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, so too women exempt from Tefillin. Afkan here also in the Yisur Karcha, Noshim Pturos, by virtue of the Gzereshava Bein Einechem. Now the Gemara is going to ask Rava, why didn't he accept Abaye, meaning the Gzereshava of Karcha Karcha, and Abaye, why didn't he accept the Svara of Rava, and the equation between Karcha and Tefillin? Rava, my time alo Amar Kabaye, why not exclude women from the Issa Lav of Karcha because of the Pasuk B'nei Aaron? And the Gemara answers that Rava holds Kerach Karcha lo Mashmale. He's not impressed by the extra hay. He's not medagdeg in the extra hay to derive this conclusion that women are exempt from the Issa Lav of Karcha. And therefore, he has it as Karcha, Karcha, one simple Gzeira Shava, that's it. And the Gzeira Shava, as we said, the purpose of the Gzeira Shava is to derive those three halachas that we discussed. And therefore, there's no source for the Ptur of Nashim. Abaye, on the other hand, my time alama Karava, Amar Lecha, he says, Tfilin Gufayu, Mehacha Gomerla. How do we know exactly that Tfilin are not to be placed between the eyes, but rather keneged bein einechem on the rush? That's derived from this gzereshava of bein einechem, and that is that in tefillin gufayu, tefillin itself, how do we know that it's on the head, to be worn on the head, mehacha, from this gzereshava bein einechem gamarla? That's how we derive it, malahal, and just like in the case of karcha bein einechem, we know is the makom shaosim karcha, the general place where you could do a karcha. Karcha means to take out the hair and bald and make a bald spot. Is that can only be begovah shel rosh? It cannot be on the forehead itself. There's no hair on the forehead, so you cannot take the pasuk bein einechem literally. Afkan, therefore, by virtue of this gzereshav bein einechem, because in tefillin it says vayu teltofos bein einechem, is makom anocha begovah rosh. The place for the tefillin has to be high on the head. And I remember when we once took a tour in the direction of Yam HaMelech to Qumran, they told us that there was a group of Jews there who would wear their tefillin between their eyes. And they took the pasuk literally. Again, I wouldn't call them karoim in that time, but they were something like karoim in the sense that they didn't accept the interpretation of the psukim based on Torah Shebal Peh, based on the transmission of Torah through the Chachamim. The Gemara asks, Ubein la Rava, Bein la Abaye, Bein la Rava, in the understanding of Isi, that women are exempt from the parsha and the lav of Karcha. Wait a minute. What about the ribui that we spoke about yesterday? Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah tells you that these Isurim are a reflection of the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, who are Bonim LaMakom, and that includes both the Zecharim and the Nekevos. It's Hai Bonim Atem, my Darshi Bey. What should we do with the Pasuk Bonim Atem? It cannot be used to include Nashim because Nashim excluded from Karcha coin to Isi. So why did the Torah plug in the words Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem here in this context? And at this point, the Gemara embarks upon an Agadata to explain what it means Bonim Atem in the special relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Bonim. And the Gemara is going to quote four psukim to support the view of Rabbi Meir that our status, the status of the people of Israel as Bonim, continues even if Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael go off the derech, to use a modern phrase. But first, let's see the view that's presented first. That's Rabbi Yehuda's view. It's a little bit more of a, shall we say, a depressing kind of view. What do we learn, says Rabbi Yehuda, from the words, Bonim atem l'Hashem l'keichem l'chirisanya? Why did the Torah wedge in the atem over here? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the problem is it should have said atem bonim l'Hashem l'keichem. The subject of this statement is atem. So start with atem. You are bonim. No, the Torah switched the order. Bonim atem l'Hashem l'keichem. To tell you, you know what? This concept of bonim, you've got to be l'Hashem Elokeichem. It's conditional. Bizman shatem noagim minig bonim. If you're loyal to Avinu Shebashamayim and you're serving Hashem with dveikus, is then atem kriyim bonim. Then you're worthy of the title bonim. But ein atem noagim minig bonim. If chas sholem your behavior does not reflect a fulfillment, a loyalty to one's father and to one's father in heaven, is Einatem Kriyim Bonim. You could forfeit the title of Bonim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you not as Bonim, but as a master would treat his servant. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer, no. Bein kachu bein kach atem kriyim bonim. Even if you don't deserve that title Bonim, even if you don't treat... if you don't relate to the mitzvos of Hashem like a ben would be loyal to his father, nevertheless, you're still considered bonim. And now, Rabbi Meir is going to go and embark upon an entire series of psukim in order to prove this point. And we'll soon see the Gemara wants to know, why does he need all these psukim? Why wouldn't one be sufficient? So let's go through the psukim. The first one is Yirmiyahu HaNavi. The second one is a pasuk at the end of Chumash. The third one is a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. And finally, the clincher, the apex, is in Hoshea HaNavi. Shenemar, number one, Bonim, Scholim Hema. Scholim means stupid. Tipshim. In other words, sometimes we mess up and we don't observe the law because some shtus goes into our mind, some silliness, and we act like imbeciles. But nevertheless, notice that in the same breath, Yirmiyah calls us Scholim because we've deviated, but yet he calls us Bonim. Bonim Scholim. It's a paradox. But the answer is, Rabbi Meir, even if Ein Atem Nogim Kiminuk Bonim, nevertheless, it's an existential relationship and it's Bonim. Bonim Scholim Hema. V'Omer, and furthermore, Bonim Lo Uman Bam. It says at the end of the Chumash, in Vizos HaBrach, I think, we'll open up the Chumash, we'll see this pasuk inside, Bali Neder. It says, Bonim lo uman bam. Yeah, sure, here it is in Hazinu, in the Shira of Hazinu. Vayomer astira panai mehem, eramach risam kidar tapuchos hema, Bonim lo uman bam. Lo uman means, emuna means faith or reliability. We haven't been reliable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we veered off the right path. And nevertheless, the pasuk calls them bonim. That's the paradox of this pasuk. The Omer in the third pasuk is Yeshayahu HaNavi. We went from Yirmiyah to Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshayahu HaNavi. Zera mereim bonim mashchisim. This is a very harsh language, mashchisim, to be absolutely destructive. But nevertheless, Yeshayahu HaNavi in the same breath calls us bonim. The Omer, Hoshea Novi says, V'hoya, v'mokam asher yomer lehem lo amiatem. Our behavior has alienated ourselves completely, like we're considered another nation. But yomer lehem b'nei el chai, and yet we're still called b'nei el chai, on the highest level of bonin. My V'omer, what makes it necessary for Rabbi Meir to be so, to elucidate his point with four different proofs, four different psukim? He says the following, each pasuk goes up the madrig. We're going from the lower echelon of violations to the most extreme violations. V'chitem, you might think, schole, in a case where the people of Israel are acting in a very silly way, very stupid way, without das, what we called shtus. The pasuk says, bonim scholim, is hu de mikri bonim. You have a child that Nebuch is a bit retarded, you still consider him a ben? That makes sense. But what about a situation in the history of Klal Yisrael, ki les behu hem nusayu, where they lose their, where Hashem is no longer relying on them. They have no track record, and they have no reliability. They're really guilty of evil. Is low mikri bani? I would think at that point they finally crossed the red line and they forfeited the status as banim. Toshma. That's where we have the second pasuk, which is the pasuk in Dvarim that says lo uman bum. That even though it's lo uman bum, they're not reliable anymore. They're not trustworthy. They're not loyal. They're not dedicated. Nevertheless, banim. They're still called banim. Oh. Now we go on to the third level, the chitema ki les behem nusa, even if they're not consistent, and if Hashem finds them unreliable, who demikri banim, nevertheless they still consider banim, but ki polchu le'avodas kochavim, they cross the red line, and they worship other idols, that's the most extreme case of lack of loyalty is lo mikru banim for sure. At that point, they forfeit the status as banim. They are idol worshippers. Toshma. And now we get to the third pasuk, which was in Yeshayahu Navi. Zera mereim banim mashchisim. The word mashchisim always refers to avodah zarah, wherever you find it. And yet, despite that fact, the Torah, The Tanakh, in this case Yeshayahu HaNavi, says about them Zera Mareim Banim Mashchisim. Strange, very paradoxical. They are Mashchisim and yet they're called Banim. Oh. But Vechi Tema, maybe there's still a worse situation for Klal Yisrael. Is Banim Mashchisim Hu De Mikri B'nei Ma'alya Lo Mikri? Maybe you'll tell me the following. Enochinami, once they've crossed the red lines, they're no longer living a Jewish lifestyle. They've joined up with the idol worshippers. At that point, for sure, they forfeit, shall I say, the spitz, the most intense and profound status of banim, but maybe they have a lower status of banim. You know, there's banim with a capital beis, and there's banim with a small case beis. And therefore, although they're not considered banim, They're not considered the apex or the spitz of banim, but nevertheless, we still have to give them a title, a low grade banim title, which is called banim ashchisim udemikri. That's what they're called. But you can never possibly call them bnei mi'alya, that they are, this is a special people that ascend on high, that have a special spiritual status, that you can't low mikri, that I, toshma, here we get to Hosea. Hosea himself did tshuva, and he's talking about the potential of the Jewish people to do tshuva. And if they succeed in reaching up to that potential, the Omer, the Pasuk says, V'hoye b'mokom asher ye Omer lehem, instead of Hashem saying to them, Lo amiatem, you worshipped Avodah Zarah, and therefore you're no longer my nation. If you're not loyal to me, I'm not loyal to you. The whole marriage contract, the whole bris is gone, is broken. Is nevertheless, ye Omer lehem, it will still be said about them, B'nei El Chai. B'nei El Chai means they still are banim, B'nei Ma'aliyus, or banim Chashuvim. And the Chavivim, the Chavivus, is greater, supersedes than the Chavivus that Hashem has towards any nation. They are still considered banim, atem, Hashem Elokeichem. And therefore we go back to the beginning of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that banim, atem, Hashem Elokeichem indicates that no matter how far the Jewish people have deviated from the path, nevertheless they still remain banim. Going back to Rabbi Yehuda for a moment, he says that when the Torah says banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, it means only at the time that you are fulfilling the will of God, then you're called banim. You're not always guaranteed unconditionally to be considered banim. If you were always considered banim, then the pasuk would have said atem banim. It would have defined the Jewish people essentially as banim, meaning they're always banim. But when it says banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, it doesn't say atem banim. It's trying to tell you that why you called banim. That's because you are atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. You're dedicated to the service of Hashem. Meir holds that the Bnei Yisrael considered banim without this condition of osim ritzono, and even if they sin, they're still considered bonim, whereas Rabbi Meir holds that only when they observe the mitzvahs, then they're considered bonim. If they're chotim, they forfeit the title of bonim. But even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if they do tshuva, then of course they're reinstated and they gain once again the status or the title of bonim. It's interesting, the Ben Yoyod is quoted here, the Ben Ishchai, is saying in the name of the Rashba, in Tshuvas, that even though it's a universal rule, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, but this is an exception to the rule, because there's so many riyas and so many psukim that seems to support the position of Rabbi Meir, that's the way the Jewish ideology is always established and embraced the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabosa, we start a Mishnah. This Mishnah is a hemshech of the previous Mishnah only in terms of the question of the difference, the different statuses, or statusi, of Ish and Isha as far as mitzvahs are concerned, meaning we saw in the previous Mishnah that there are many, many mitzvahs that women are exempt from. Here too. But what I wanted to emphasize was that, you know, that Shas is broken up, of course, into Shisha, into six tributaries, six basic columns or categories, and one of them is called Kodshim. This Mishnah is addressing the difference between men and women as far as Kodshim. And the Mishnah is going to exempt women in a number of different cases, but we should divide up the cases into two distinct categories that shouldn't be confused one with the other. The first category in Kodshim refers to the Bailim. And the second category of Kodshim refers to the Avodah itself, meaning the Avodas Kohanim. So let's go through the Avodos of Bailim and see the differences between men and women. The first case is Hasmichos, which means when the Bailim bring the Karban, they have to lean their hands on the head of the animal before it's Shechita, and at that point they recite Vidui. And this halach of smicha applies to men only and not to women. The question again is, can a woman voluntarily offer to do the smicha? That's going to be an issue. But the pasuk is in Vayikra Gimel v'samach yado al rosh karbono, and smicha is a reference to karbonos yachid. There's no such thing as smicha in Karbanos Tzibur, except for the exception of Sarah Mishtaleach on Yom Kippurim. And smicha is done right before Shechita, in the Mokom Shechita, and it applies to men and not to women. We're going to soon see how the Mishnah knows this. Then we get up to the second category, and that is Hatnufos. Tnufos is a reference to waving the karbon. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Menachos that lists those karbonos that require tnufa. First and foremost, with regard to shlomim, we have something called chazav eshok. Those are parts of the animal that are given to the kohanim. But first, the Yisrael has to do tnufa. He has to wave it. Then we have the case of lug shel mitzora. In the case of Mitzoru brings his karbon, he, the Mitzoru, has got to do tnufa. There's a case of Bikurim, of Shteil Lechem, of Kivsei Atzeres, Minchas Omer, Minchas Sot. They're all listed there in the Mishnah on Samach Aleph and Menachos. And the tnufa, in certain cases, for example, in the case of Asham Mitzora that we discussed earlier, that's Michaim, while the animal's alive. In the case of Shlomim, with regard to Chaz V'Shok, that's obviously after the Shechita was done. In any event, we have Halach of Tnufa, and this Halach of Tnufa is limited to the menfolk and doesn't apply to the women. Mishnah continues, and at this point we're talking no longer about the Bailim. That was a discussion about smicha, when the Bailim bring the carbon, they do smicha, tnufa, where the Bailim does tnufa. And now we move on to what we call the avoda, the akrava, we're going to go through Menachos, and then we're going to talk about Zvachim. In the case of Menachos, we have what's called Hagoshos, and we have Kmitos. Hagoshos is the mitzvah in which the mincha is brought towards the Keren HaMizbeach. And that's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Kohen with regard to Menachos. And it's derived from a pasuk at the very beginning of Vayikra. It says, Vavesa es ha-mincha v'kriva el ha-kohen v'gisha l'mizbeach. And the Mishnah in Menachos Daf Samach lists all the cases of Menachos that require Hagosha. There's Minchas Solas, Machvas, Umar Cheshes, there's Chalos and Rekikim, there's Minchas Chote, Minchas Sota, Minchas Omer. All these require Hagosha, in which the Mincha is brought until it touches the Mizbeach, and that has to happen in the Keren Ma'arovis Dromis Shalom Mizbeach, either on the Yesod or Keneged HaYesod. There's going to be a machlokes amongst the Chachamim exactly where this point is, where the Hagosha is done. Is it Keneged Chuda Shel Keren? Is it Droma Shel Keren? There are various possibilities as exactly how this Hagosha has to be fulfilled. And now the Mishnah is establishing that Hagosha, in the case of Menachos, is incumbent upon the males, meaning the Zichrei Kohuna, but not upon the females. Vakmitzos, you know that in a case of a Minchas Ha'of, the Of is subject not to Shechita, but rather Kmitza, where the Kohen uses his the small of his finger after the soles, the flour is poured into his hand, and he moves his finger in such a way that the mincha goes down. That's the main avod. It's like zrikas adam in zvachim in menachos. It's called kmitza. And once again, any mincha that needs a kmitza, that kmitza will be done by the kohen. And certainly not by the Bas Kohen, by a Kohenes. Then we get to the case of Hahaktoros. This is a general rule which applies to all Karbanos, and it's accomplished by putting the Karban, the Basar Karban, onto the Mizbeach HaChitzon. We're not talking about the Mizbeach HaZov, the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And those Karbanos are done with Balei Chaim, and inside of them there are Menachos. So this is called Haktoras HaKarbonos, and it has to be achieved by Zichrei Kohuna. And once again, we're going to see how we derive that the women folk are Nisma, to their excluded from the Haktoros. Then we have Malikos. In the case of a Karbonof, instead of Shechita, there's Malika. As we said before, instead of Zrika, to be the Mechaper is the Kmitza. But if you ask how do you shech the animal, the answer is through Malika. And that's where the Kohen uses his thumb that has a nice long nail on it, and he does the Malika on the Oaf, whether it's Chatos of different kinds of Ofos. And once again, this Malika process has to be achieved by the Kohen, and in this case, of course, the Zichrei Kohuna, and not the Noshim. And then we get to Kabbalos, which means that after the Shechita is done on a Behema, the Dam is collected in a Kli Shares, and that Kabbalos Adam, which is one of the four Avodos, has to be done in order to achieve the Kapara, because the Kapara depends upon this Dam. So you have to receive the Dam, and then sprinkle the dam onto the Mizbeach. So it's Kabbalah Sadam, and it's going to be Zrika Sadam. And the Kabbalah has to be done by Zichrei Kohuna, and not by a Bas Kohen. Then we get to Hahazos. Now that's a little bit unclear exactly what Hazos is referring to. Is it referring to Hazos Hadam, Dama Korban on the Mizbeach, or perhaps Hazos has something to do with the mitzvah of Pora Aduma and Amir Tzashem, we'll get to see that pretty soon. And the Mishnah now tells you that in all the above cases, Noagim ba'anoshim velo b'noshim. Rishonim raised the question, Tosus and other Rishonim, why is the Mishnah telling me all these cases? There's a general rule in Avoda that Avodas HaKarbon is not implemented by the Noshim. It's got to be Zichrei Kehuna. So why do you have to go through each one of these cases? And Blinetta will come back to this. Especially the Mishnah mentions Kabbalah Sadam, Zrika Sadam. I mean, well, actually, Zrika Sadam is not mentioned here, but an Isha is excluded from Zrika Sadam as well. So you mention Kabbalah Sadam, you don't mention Zrika Sadam. What is the rhyme or reason why the Mishnah focuses in on these particular aspects of the Avoda when there's a general universal rule that Avodos have to be implemented by Zichrei Kehuna, not by Benos Aaron? The Mishnah, however, continues now to tell us that in terms of Bailim, there are two cases in Bailim which are the exception to the rule of smicha, excuse me, of tnufa. That was my mistake, sorry. Chutz mi mincha soto nezira sheheim minifos. If a sota who's accused of adultery brings her mincha sota, she will do tnufa on that mincha, or a nezira. You know that nezira applies both to men and women, and at the end of the process of nezirus, the nazir, the nezira, brings a special karmon, that's called Zroa B'Shela B'Ayel, and the halacha is, with regard to Minchas Nezira, that the tnufa is going to be done by the Nezira herself. So women do have a place within the broader constellation of tnufa, in these two cases of Minchas Sota and Nezira. The Gemara now is going to go through each one of these dinim and try to derive them from Sukkim. The first din of Smicha is derived from a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra Dechsiv. It says, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, and I'm going to read the whole pasuk, V'yamat aliyem odom ki yakriv michem karban lashem, and then the pasuk, a few psukim, two psukim later, says, V'samach yodo al rosh ha'ola. And here the Torah uses the term B'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael, somchim. V'ein b'nos Yisrael, somchos. That smich applies to B'nei Yisrael, but not to B'nos Yisrael. It's very interesting. We have many, many mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah addresses itself to B'nai Yisrael. We don't exclude women. We exclude Nachrim, Goyim, because they're not considered B'nai Yisrael. So why is it that here we're not going to exclude Nachrim, we're going to exclude Nashim? We have no possibility, no right to say that when it says in a mitzvah B'nai Yisrael, it's excluding women, because we've already derived from a ribui back on Daf Lamed Daled that women are obligated. It says, Ish o Isha ki yasu mikol chatos ha'odom, or for example, the mitzvah of Mora. And from these cases, we derive the general universal conclusion that women are chayav in mitzvahs. So therefore, we're not going to say that when it says B'nai Yisrael, they're excluding women. Women are also included in B'nai Yisrael. But in terms of our Mishnah here, we're going to exclude Noshim. Why? Ein omrim shanoshim pturis mi mitzvahs smicha. We're not saying that women are exempt from the mitzvah smicha. We're just passing on the mitzvah smicha over to the shluchim that she appoints. The prate dinim that apply to the karbon is not said with regard to a karbon noshim, but rather karbon anoshim. Karbon anoshim of men need smicha. Karbon noshim do not need smicha. Karbon anoshim need tnufa. Karbon noshim in general do not need tnufa. So we're not really excluding women from the mitzvah of tenufa, but rather what we're saying is that in the case of the tenufa, the korban oseim, it's done by the kohen without the participation of the bialim. So in effect, what we're saying is that with regard to tenufa, the tenufa is in fact fulfilled. Not that it's dropped. She has a chiv tenufa, just that she herself personally cannot implement that chiv tenufa, and therefore falls back on the kohen. It's not that the carbon of an isha is mufka from these kiyumim, but rather she cannot implement these kiyumim. Others, in this case the kohanim, will be implementing those dinim, the smicha, or the tenufa on her behalf. The Mishnah goes on to tell us another din with regard to tenufos, if you recall. And the Gemara says, how do we derive the halacha that women are excluded from tenufos? And the answer is, at the beginning of Vayikra, in Perek Zion, it says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'heinif. B'nei Yisrael menifim v'ein b'nos Yisrael menifos. As we said before, the Kohen is going to do the tenufa on behalf of the woman, the bialim of the korban. The Mishnah then continues and says, Hagoshos are only applicable to the men. And what's the source for this? Dichsiv, in the parsha of Menachos, it says, Vayikravav, Vizos Toras HaMincha HaKrevosol B'nei Aaron. And in this introductory pasuk to Hagoshas HaMincha, the Torah spells it out as B'nei Aaron. V'lo, from that, hence we derive V'lo B'nos Aaron. The Mishnah says that K'mitzos do not apply to women, only to men. And this is derived from a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Beis, Midichsiv, Ve'hevi'a El B'nei Aaron HaKohen V'kamatz Misham Melo Kumtzo Misolta U'mishmana. So it's mashma that it's B'nei Aaron and not B'nos Aaron, so we have a source to exclude women from K'mitza. And when we get to Akhtaros, there the Torah says, Midichsiv, in the Parashan Vayikri Gimel, it says, Vehiktiru oso b'nei Aaron, is b'nei Aaron, v'lo b'nos Aaron. So the Akhtaros HaKarbon has to be implemented by b'nei Aaron. Malikos, we spoke about Malika. Malika also doesn't apply to women, and that's based on the pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra. It says, Dechsiv, and I'll read the whole pasuk for you, Vikrivo HaKoin El Mizbeach U'molak Es Rosh V'Hiktir HaMizbecha. Although we have a pasuk that excludes women from Haktara, we don't have a pasuk that excludes women from Malika. But the answer is, Dichsiv, in the parasha of Malika, it says, Vekrivo HaKoyen El HaMizbeach U'molak Es Rosho V'Hiktir HaMizbeach. You'll notice that in the same pasuk it says both Malika and Haktara. Is Iskash Malika L'Haktara. There's a hekesh between Malika and Haktara. Just like we saw that in Haktara it says B'nei Aaron V'lo B'nos Aaron, so too with regard to Malika, is Malika Einin Oheges B'Bnos Aaron. Kabolos, receiving the dam, B'Chsiv, the Pasuk says, V'Yikra Aleph, V'Shochat Es Ben HaBok L'Fnei Hashem, V'Krivu B'nei Aaron HaKonim Es Adam. So it's clear that we're talking about B'nei Aaron, and Hikrivu B'nei Aaron Es Adam. Omar Mar, the Brisa says, this is a famous Brisa, Masechta Chagiga, Vikrivu Zo Kabbalah Sadam. What it means that they brought the dam, what they mean is they accepted, they collected the dam after Zrika, after Shechita, into a Kli Shares. And here too, the Torah says, B'nei Aaron, to the exclusion of B'nos Aaron. Then we have the case of the Hazos in the Mishnah, and we don't know exactly which Hazah we're talking about. Hazah Dehecho. If it's going to be Hazah of a particular Karban, or is it going to be the Hazah at the time of the Paraduma? And the Gemara starts with Paraduma. E de para, if we're talking about the case of para, that what happened was that when they shechted the para duma, they would collect the dam and do seven hazos keneged base kodshei hakadoshim. Is, I don't have to tell you that women are excluded from the hazah following the shechitas hapara, because only a kohen gadol is kosher for that job. It says Elazar kasuv ba. The pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Yutes v'lokach Elazar akoyim midoma b'etzba overhiza el nochach pnei o el moed midoma sheva pa'amim. Is Elazar akoyim is the kohen gadol to the exclusion of shar kohenim? And if shar kohenim aren't acceptable in hazah, then certainly women are not acceptable in hazah. Tosus here, Dibra Maskel I Depara, has a kasha from a Gemara in Yuma that darshans the pasuk in that same parsha, v'nasatem osa el Elazar Kohen. Osa, meaning the first para duma goes to Elazar, but lo l'doros Elazar. You know, as it could be, there's a machlokas amaroyim, what's the din l'doros? But some say that we still require a kohen gadol l'doros, but others say l'doros avoda b'kohen hejot. And you don't need a kohen gadol. If that be the case, the question of hazah with regard to women is a very valid question according to that man the Omer, as far as the avoda of the hazah in the paraduma l'doros. So you'll take a look at Tosus. Right now I wanted to finish up with Hazos. I de Pnim, there was a Mizbach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach Hazov, and there was a certain number of Karbonos, very few, that were brought on the Mizbach Hazov, and then the Hazov was done in those with regard to those Karbonos, Bifnim, on the Paroches, or the Mizbach Hazov itself. And we'll mention two cases that fit into this category of Naseis Bifnim. One is the Par Kohen Moshiach, and the other is the Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur. So if the Tan is telling us that these Hazos require Anoshim to the exclusion of Noshim, that's impossible, because the Torah itself spells out HaKohen HaMoshiach Kosuv Bo. It says in the Parsha of the Karbonos that are brought inside the Mizbeach Hazov, on the Mizbeach Hazov it says, Vayikra Dalit V'lokach HaKohen HaMashiach Midam HaPar V'hiza. It's like even a Kohen Hejot is possible for this Hazah. How much more so Noshim are possible from Apsuels from this Hazah? Ella, so the Gemara now offers the final bottom word as far as Hazah is concerned. La'azah de ben of. There's something called a Chatas Ha'of in Vayikra He. And there it says, V'hiza Midam HaChatas. And the Mishnah wants to establish that this Hazov, Dam Chatas Ha'of, has to be implemented by Zichrei Kohuna. And Noshim, on the other hand, disqualified for this Hazov of the Dam of a Chatas Ha'of. And the reason why women are psulos is because of a Kal V'chomer, the Asya, the Kal V'chomer mi ben son. There's something called an Olas Behema. We're talking now about Chatos Ha'of, but let's say in the case of Olas Behema, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Vayikra, V'zarku b'nei Aaron HaKohen es domo, Uma ben son shalo kavalo kohen l'shchitoso, and even a Yisrael is kosher for shchita, because shchita k'shera bizar, nevertheless kavalo kohen l'hazoso, the Torah said the hazah itself has to requires kahuna, and only a kohen is kosher to be zorik the dam on the mizbeach, even though the shchita is k'shera bizar, is ben of shekavalo kohen l'milikoso. Here the Kohen is an absolute prerequisite for the Malika of Chatos Ha'of. Is Eino Din Sheyikbalo Lahaza also? If in the case of Olas Behema, where the Torah was more makil and allowed at least the Shechita, the first of the Avos, to be done by a Zaranon Kohen, as that's called Lokava Lo Kohen L'Shechitaso, and there with the Torah is being lenient, and nevertheless, the Torah says it's got to be a Kohen Zachar. It cannot be a Nekev, because it says V'zaku Zarku B'nei Aaron Es Hakonim Es Domo. How much more so in the case of Ben Ov, where the Torah is even more machmer, the no leniencies, the Avodas Ha Hashchita, which is called Malika in the case of an Ov, has to be done by a Kohen. So you see the requirements of Kohen here are even more stiff and demanding. Is Eino Din Sheyikbalo Lehazaoso. So the bottom line is that Hazos is a reference to Chatos Ha'of, and the Hazos is done under the Pasuk V'hizam Idama Chatos by a man and not a woman. And that absolutely makes sense based on this Kal V'chomer, because if the Torah is more demanding in the case of a Chatos Ha'of requiring a Kohen to do the Malika, then from the fact that in Olas Behema the Torah requires a Kohen to do the Haktorah, and even though the Hazah, excuse me, and even though the Torah was at the same time was lenient with regard to Shechita, how much more so in the case of a Ben Of, in the case of Chatos Ha'of. But the Mishnah establishes now that although a woman is excluded from Tenufa, and we discussed this before, but nevertheless, there are two cases in which she's included in Tenufa, Chutz Minchas Sota Unezira, Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshaya de Dore, there were two Rabbi Yoshayas, this is Rabbi Yoshaya of his generation, and Rabbi Eliezer needs urgently an answer to his question. He turns to Rabbi Yoshia and he says to him, Lotesiv, this is a classical Lashon HaShas, Lotesiv HaKaryach Adi Amitli La Shmaita. Don't even sit down. It's urgent. You have to explain a Shmaita to a Sugya and answer my question without sitting, without having the time to sit down. Minayin L'mincha Sota Shetuna Tnufa. How do we know that the Mincha of a Sota needs Tnufa? So first of all, at this point, the Gemara takes that literally. But the Gemara asks, how could that be taken literally? Minolan, it's a pasuk in Chumash. What, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't know a pasuk in Chumash? Begufa ksiv, in the parash of Sota, it says it outright. We'll read the entire pasuk. It says, Vamidbar hey, v'lokach ha-kohen miyada isha es, minchas ha-knos, v'henif es ha-mincha. So certainly, an act of tnufa is required. Ella, what was the question of Rabbi Eliezer? Tnufa v'bailim minolan. How do we know that it's not enough that Velokach HaKohen, that the Kohen himself does the Tnufa Vehenif Es HaMincha, but even the Bailim themselves, or in this case the Sota herself, has to do the Tnufa? In other words, again, the Torah only mentions the Tnufa through the Kohen. It doesn't mention anything about her Tnufa. So the Gemara answers, this is Rabbi Yoshia responding to Rabbi Eliezer, Asya Yad Yad Mishlom. We have another Gzeira Shava. In the parasha of Shlomim, we have, and we discussed this earlier, the case of Tnufin Chaz of Ashok. And the Torah writes in that parasha the word Yad. Here, in Minchas Sota, likewise, the Torah uses the word Yad, and we're going to use a Gzeira Shava, Yad Yad, to derive the conclusion that Tnufa is on the Bailim. Yad Yad Mishlomim. What does it say in the parasha of Shlomim, the Tnufa that's required? It says, Yadav Tiviena, Eis Ishe Hashem. And here in the case of Minchas Sota, it says, V'lokach HaKoy Miyad HaIsha. They emphasize the word Miyad. Ksiv Hasam there, by, as we said earlier, in the Tnufa of Chaz V'Shok of a Karban Shlomim Vayikra Yitzayin, it says Yadav Tiviena Eis Ishe Hashem. So we have a right to compare Yad to Yad. Ma Kan Kohen, just like in the case of Sota, the Tnufa is done, implemented by the Kohen, because the pasuk says, "Mabibar hevelokach hakohen miyada isha es mincha saknos vehenif aflahal." And so too in Shlomim Kohen, even though in the parasha of Shlomim it doesn't say explicitly that you require a Kohen to do tnufa, But nevertheless, we derive it from Yad Yad, this Gzeres Shava. Umala Halan Ba'alim. This will be another case of a two-directional Gzeres Shava, that the Gzeres Shava works, number one, to teach us that in the case of Shlomim, we need Tenufas Habailim. It's not enough to have Tenufas Kohen. And now we're going to derive something from Shlomim to the case of Minchas Sotah. Umala Halan Ba'alim. There too, the Torah says Ba'alim. It says Yodav Tiviena. Is Ishe Hashem Lehonif Oso Tenufa Lefnei Hashem. So in the case of Shlomim, the Tenufa is done by the Ba'alim. Yodov is referring to the Bailim who does Tnufa. Afkan here too in Sota, even though it doesn't say explicitly that the Tnufa should be Bailim through her Tnufa as the Bailim of the Korban HaKetzad. So how do we reconcile both of these mikros, both of these psukim? On the one hand, we're telling through this Yad Yad that just like in the case of Sota, the tenufa has to be done by the Kohen. So too in the case of Shlomim, the tenufa has to be done by the Kohen. And then we're saying that just like in the case of Shlomim, the tenufa has to be done by the Bailim, so too in Sota, the tenufa has to be done by the Bailim. So this Gzeres Shava really, in a sense, throws us for a loop, because what we're saying is that you need tenufa by the Bailim, you need tenufa by the Kohen. HaKetzad, how do we reconcile this, the two mikros? The answer is, Kohen Machnis Yodav Tachas Yad Bailim Umenif. There's really a partnership here in the tenufa. The tenufa is really done by both the Bailim and by the Kohen. And the Kohen will put his hands Tachas Yad Bailim, and together they do a Maisa tenufa. Now the Gemara wants to clarify Nazir. We said that Tnufa in Nazir applies not just to a Nazir, but even to a Nazira. Ashkechan, we find Sota. We had a basis for a derivation that a Sota is obligated in Tnufa. Nazira Minolan. How do we know that Nazira also likewise is Chayeves in Tnufa? And the Gemara answers, Asya Kaf Kaf Misota, another Gzeres Shava. In the parasha of Sota, it says, V'nosan al kapeha eis minchas hazikaron. And in Nazir, it says, V'lokach hakoines hazroa b'shelim in ayil, V'chalas matza achas minasal, urikik matza echa v'nosan al kape hanazir. So we have kapeha in the case of Sota, and we have kape in the case of a nazir. Just like a Sota, she does the tenufa as the bailas hakarban, so too in the case of nazir, she does the tenufa as the bailas hakarban. So this entire Mishnah and Sugya, I would call kodshim, or as the Litvaks call it, kodshim. And now we're ready to enter into another branch of Shas, and that is Zeroyim. And that's going to be, again, a discussion about the mitzvos that apply to women and men. In this case, we're going to talk about mitzvos hatluyas baretz, mitzvos she'ena tluyas baretz. Not exactly a perfect parallel to the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes, which discusses the mitzvahs that apply to men and only to men, as opposed to the women that apply, mitzvahs that apply even to women. But there's a certain similarity. We're analyzing mitzvahs. We're on the roll. There's certain mitzvahs that apply in Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. There's certain mitzvahs that apply even outside the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be a mitzvah Hashem, the subject of the Mishnah tomorrow.